Hey, Travis.
Hi, Tom.
We're back for another great episode of Give Us the Launch Codes. It's been a while since our last sponsor.
We haven't done the sponsors in a bit.
It's kind of a dry season. Finally got another sponsor. Our sponsor for this episode, since we finally got some people to back us again financially. By the way, I'm just talking about Monopoly money, everyone, ladies and folks.
Not including Patreon. Check out our Patreon, guys. If you want to buy us an In-N-Out, that'd be great.
Oh yeah, I like a 3x2. Mm-hmm. No salt. No yeah. Salt's the key, ladies. Anyway, our sponsor right now is crazy enough, video games.
Video games.
Just video games are sponsoring us. The entire genre and category of video games, digital adventures.
EA Sports is EA Games is sponsoring us, amongst others.
Naughty Dog, Machine Games.
You know, Bethesda. Activision Blizzard. I'm just naming like the worst people.
Video games. Honestly, they're fun. Anyone who says that video games lead to horrific crimes can go fuck themselves with their dad's cock.
I feel like nobody believes that anymore, but there's always that one guy every so often, including the president, yes. The current president, who will try to make that argument.
Yeah, like, there's no correlation.
It's like, it's not 2005 anymore. Get over it.
Yeah. The video games lead to nothing but a nice way to relax after work, hang out with friends, basically play a movie at this point, because the way video games are made now, it's literally just an interactive movie. Have fun. That's all it is. Is it a waste of time? Sure, but you know what? Our grandfather thought reading books all the time was a waste of time. So, who gives a fuck?
I'd rather play fictional war crimes than learn about the ones we actually commit on a daily basis.
Are you saying you'd rather have bad karma in Fallout?
Sure, yeah.
Are you saying you'd rather have the guards of Rightrun actually want to kill you?
I'm saying I would rather play Renegade mode in Mass Effect than learn about whatever horrible atrocity happened in Gaza today.
What video game are you looking forward to real quick before we say goodbye to our sponsor? I know what I'm looking forward to.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to getting GTA 6 6 months after its release so all the bugs could be worked out. Because you know that game's going to be buggy as fuck.
Oh, it's going to be fuck bug. I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a PS5 soon so I can play Metal Gear Solid Delta. Never got a chance to play Snake Eater on the PS2. Was a little too young at the time. My parents wouldn't let me play it because it was definitely sexual. But I want to play it. It looks great. Metal Gear's great. So that's our sponsor. Video games. People. If you have a good fucking kid who does their grades well, who does their chores, who is actually a good kid, let them play a fucking video game. There's nothing wrong with it. Get them the console they like.
Do co-op with them.
Yeah. Oh my God. Are you saying bond with your child, Travis? Yes. Fuck. Ah, man, that's a concept. Bonding with your kid on something that the kid likes.
You know, like if you're worried about like violent video games, like I don't know, COD or whatever, just do a fucking co-op campaign with them. Like their takeaway will be like my parents play video games with me and it was very fun.
My dad's cooler than your dad.
And they will not think about the fucked up politics of Call of Duty.
By the way, folks, the most violent video game ever made is over two decades old. It's called Manhunt. Nothing happened when Manhunt came out, and it's a greatest hits on the PS2. Yeah, go play Manhunt. Nothing happened. It's been over two fucking decades. Manhunt. Yeah, I want a Manhunt TV show. Thank you, Amazon. All right, let's get into the show. That was a great sponsor. Probably won't get another one after that for a while. I'm hoping Pork Belly is our next sponsor, by the way, Travis. I love Pork Belly.
Well, I'll leave that. I'll leave you to figure that out. You're the one that...
I gotta fucking go to meetings and shit and pitch. So, I know you had a great idea for this episode because... And which I love, by the way, segueing a little bit when we said, you know, bonding with your parent. I like how you brought up the idea for this episode was a conversation with your mom. But by the way, hi, Mrs. Baker. Miss you and love you.
Yeah. I had a conversation with my mom one time. And I guess she heard this on NPR or something.
Hopefully it's still around.
Yeah, NPR, while it still existed. She asked me this question, is it true that people your age and younger don't have any hope.
Nope. What does she mean by hope specifically? What hope on what?
Just hope that things will be better. You know, hope for a better political situation. Hope for a good future. Even just hope for the normal things, like, can I ever have a family, get a stable job, own a house? Just hope. Just general, like, positive outlook, like, things will look up for me. And I said, you know, yeah, that's true. I think it's an accurate statement. A lot of young people don't have that right now.
Do you really think it's 30 and under? Like, that's like,
yeah, like millennials.
Because we're just a year apart. But
millennials and zoomers. I mean, you know, I think about something my dad said, would tell me all the time when you look at how our two-party system is like the most polarized it's ever been before. And he says, well, I remember a time when Democrats and Republicans could work together and they weren't so vicious. It was just simply a fact of, you know, we both want the same thing, but we have two different ideas of how to go about it. Well, now they don't even want the same thing anymore. So, you know, one party wants to, you know, hurt minorities, suspend democracy, accumulate as much power as possible, and give as much money to rich people as possible. And the other party doesn't want to do all of that, depending on which official you ask. Some are better than others. And my dad would always say, it didn't used to be this way. It didn't used to be this way. I say would as if my dad doesn't exist anymore. He's still alive. But, you know, yeah. I don't live with him, so I don't talk to him as much as I used to.
Hi, Mr. Baker.
Hi, Dad.
Sorry. By the way, he's alive.
Both my parents are alive.
Sorry, that got me good. That was a good one, Travis. That got me good.
And I think about, like, I was born in 95. I was born... I vaguely remember a world pre-9/11. I vaguely remember a time before Bush. I vaguely remember an America before we got ourselves into two wars in the Middle East that went fucking nowhere and just ended up being costly occupations that made those countries even worse.
And don't forget a world where it was just Columbine was the only thing.
See, I didn't learn about Columbine until I was like a teenager. So, you know, what was that, 98 when that happened? I don't remember that.
But that was the only thing.
I don't think my parents would have told me about it. Now, just imagine, like, you know, someone born at the turn of the millennium or later than that.
Kind of like what Euphoria was about. Remember, like, yeah. You tell me that's how the show started with that monologue. I was a pre-9/11.
And therefore, you know, they grew up using social media, like, before. They grew up understanding what social media was before they turned 10. I'm old enough to remember MySpace, you know.
AOL dial-up and all that
these
shit.
These kids are young enough that Facebook is considered an antiquated platform. I still use Facebook. I use it to, like, connect with people that, you know, I actually know. and not to just throw things out into the ether for strangers to comment on, which is what Instagram, Twitter, Threads... Blue Sky, Mastodon, that's what all those other platforms on. Facebook, it comparatively, is like a safer space. Amazing how that worked out. But yeah, you know, just imagine kids like 20 and people 20 and under.
Just graduating high school.
Like, this is all they know. Mm-hmm. This is all they've ever known. And they can't imagine a time when it was different than that.
And the only political scandal was just the president had sex with a Jew girl. Really? Just a 20-year-old girl. That was really it. That was the only scandal.
Yeah. You know, it's like, well, scandals are commonplace. And every single thing in culture, you know, pop culture, now there has to be a culture war about it. You know, conservatives cannot resist, like, you know, commenting on whether said movie or song or singer is woke or not. It can we claim this for ourselves, or do we have to reject it outright? And it's just like, I've talked about this earlier. It's like, you know, at least like lefties, that we like to talk about real things, like real policy issues and stuff.
Or you just don't talk about it because it's just,
yeah,
okay, who cares? Like,
yeah, you know, just like, oh,
because remember, like, okay, since you're talking about stuff like, you know, being a 95 baby, I'm a 94 baby, excuse me, sorry, 94 and you're 95. The old saying that our moms used to say, and I think I stopped hearing that after 05, was, you got nothing nice to say? Don't say it at all. What happened to that? Just that simple, yeah. The simplisticness and the weight of that. But nowadays it's, no, he's not an asshole. He's just telling it how it is.
Yeah, nowadays, like, people who talk about politics have to talk about whether the new Superman movie is woke or not. And is that a bad thing? And that,
yeah, because apparently Dark Knight wasn't political at all.
I don't know. I don't want to get off topic,
no,
but it just sort of
same topic.
Yeah. But just like, you know, this whole like, and okay, there's also a recognition that politicians are not interested in helping you, the people, even though that's what a public servant is supposed to be. That's what we're taught in school. Of what those jobs are supposed to be, but we all kind of know better. And worst off is maybe some of these young people had their political awakenings in 2016 when Bernie ran the first time, and they saw the Democrats do every dirty trick possible to make sure he would never, ever get the nomination. And then they saw the party do the same thing again in 2020, when they were like, hey, all these other candidates drop out, endorse Biden. Biden gets the nomination because all the normie voters will go to him. Bernie will never get the nomination. You know, this promise of health care, it's not going to happen. We're going to conspire against it. Like, we're actively.
Oh, no, yeah. The thing that happened with Bernie was like, what the fuck?
And then, in New York, Zohran Mamdani has the Democratic nomination for New York mayor. But the two leading members of Congress from New York, Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, will not endorse him. And it's like, you know, and many mainstream Democrats will not endorse him, even though that's what they're supposed to do. Usually, if someone wins the party nomination, everyone from that party will formally give an endorsement for that guy. Like, everybody within, like, the state party or local party apparatus. But, like, oh, yeah. Zohran Mamdani, he actually, you know, doesn't want to, like, serve the interests of rich people. He's running a populist campaign about benefiting common New Yorkers. Oh, we can't have that. He called himself a socialist. He won't suck up to Israel.
Because that wasn't supposed to happen. That's why he's not being endorsed. It wasn't supposed to happen.
Granted... In Mamdani's case, he is like polling leagues better, like double digits ahead of like Cuomo and Eric Adams. So it's like, knock on wood, I hope it works out for him. But it's this idea of like, I can understand why someone would have like a sense of nihilism. Like, you know, the type of nihilism that used to be reserved for people that were deemed, quote unquote, not fun at parties, were like, oh, they all suck. Nobody's interested in helping you. Like, we used to know guys like that. They came off as edgy, you know, self-important, and, you know, the joke. They were not fun to talk to at parties.
Yeah.
Well, everybody thinks that now. Everybody has that opinion now. Everybody has the same, like, nihilistic feeling on politics in the world. Actually, what got me thinking about this, too... Let's just say you have a lot of connections to people who work at like retail and service industry. And I remember some conversations where you said it just seems like a lot of younger people that work at those jobs don't care as much about doing their jobs well, or their attitudes are not that great, right?
Towards basically like the work ethic has changed over the years.
Yeah. Where they're just kind of like, whatever, it's a job. Why should I care about doing it? Why should I care about being the best employee when I could just coast on by? Well, what about this world could motivate them to be the outstanding employee that their bosses want them to be. What's in it for them? It's like, do I really want to manage, be promoted to a manager of a burger place? You know, do I really want to, like, you know, get a good reference so I can get that real job that I've always wanted? Do I actually want a real job? Does it matter?
Well, my answer to that is, when it comes to that, is I look at it the same way as I do my faith as a Catholic. I'm not going to be a good person just so I can go through the pearly gates. I'm going to be a good person because that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to work my ass off because that's the point. And by the way, I don't have this work ethic just because I'm married with two young boys. I've always been this way. You've known me for so long. You know I just work. That's who I am, because I just take pride, really, in myself. And I know there's that whole, like, hey, having that much pride isn't good. Like, well, fuck you. To those people, I'm a prideful person. I really am. I'm very prideful about myself. So that's why I bust my ass to the bone. Not because it's like, hey, maybe I'll get promoted. Hey, maybe they'll offer OT. Hey, maybe I'll make more money. It's just me. So when it comes to working hard at a job where you're, let's say, right out of high school, well, why should I when you see this and that? Like, what's the point? The point is you figure – the point is in that aspect when it comes to working hard at anywhere you're at, whether it's your dream job or not, is just – that's on you. So fucking do it or don't, but don't bring the mood down for everyone else. Fuck off or clock in. That's what I say to working. The overallness, though, when it comes to the everyday life and how politics are influencing us nowadays in the sense of hope, I think you got to force hope. You just got to force it mentally, physically, around you. You got to keep having hope. Hope is kindle. I just think of what Gandalf says. Really, hope is kindle. Hope has got to be there irregardless, no matter what's going on, because that then something will naturally happen. I know it's harder to say than most because everyone's different. Everyone is. You could argue, was it how I was raised by my parents? Probably. I've been working since I was a sixth grader.
Mm-hmm.
How many sixth graders, how many guys do you know who's been working since sixth grade? This isn't like our dads back then or grandparents who were doing stuff like that young. This is like a current 30-year-old who could say, I've been actually working my ass off since I was a sixth grader. Like, manual hard labor where my knuckles and hands were raw. That's just a me thing. But I think everyone, when it comes to just an occupation, find something that you'll at least enjoy. No one's going to have their dream job. Most of us aren't going to get our dream jobs. Let's be honest. Yeah. That's life. Try to find something that you'll at least enjoy. And then also, too, work isn't supposed to be fun. You make work fun. I've been making my job of almost seven years fun because I just turned it into a game. Yeah. I literally just turned it into a game. I'm just a stalker, though. I'm nothing important. I'm nothing serious. I just make it a game. So that's what I say to work. But the overall life is, I think you got to have hope regardless of what's going on. Yeah, it's fucking fucked up what's going on right now across our country. And the fact that one party has completely caved to it.
Yeah.
It's fucked up to find out when you talk to people that it's like, really? Certain things are banned in certain states because why? Like, we had that book conversation I had with, I found out a coworker who's, I think it was a video game buddy, who was like, oh yeah, no, every dystopian novel that I've been reading since seventh grade or known about since like end of elementary school, I was completely banned in Texas.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like this. Really? Catcher in the Rye,
yeah.
1984, The Giver, Fahrenheit 451, Brave New World, Animal Farm, like, that's banned?
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, it's hard to get abortions in these states? Oh, hey, we still have sundown towns in our country, mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen. You still got to have hope. You got to.
I don't think forcing the hope... Sorry, I gotta laugh at that. It sounds like force the vote.
It does, doesn't it? Actually, it
sounds like force the vote. I don't think like sort of bare knuckling, white knuckling hope is. You got to give something to hope for. You know what I didn't mention? Climate change. What was it? You know what thing that's been on my mind for years? It was a climate report that came out, I think, in 2018. Saying that we basically have, like, till 2030 to lower emissions to a certain threshold to avoid irreversible damage.
Yeah, the TV show The Newsroom made fun of that, remember? the actor.
Yeah.
Plays,
oh, I don't. Well, I think this is a different report because this is well after the newsroom ended. But yeah, it was like, I don't think we've done anything to fix that. And 2030 is 5 years away. The current administration is not going to do anything, and we're stuck with that those fuckers until 2028. The last guy didn't do all that much, and you know, and of course now
the guy before him didn't do all that much.
Yeah. And now we have Russia and Ukraine at war. We have Israel bombing Gaza to smithereens. I'm sure those two things are not helping with our emissions.
China's hosting the new Axis of Powers. I'll keep calling them that. That's what it is. That's what that is. Powers.
Yeah.
That little summit China held. I'm going to keep calling it that because that's clearly what it is.
And so that's another thing. It's like, you know, I think, you know, we live in the California coast. You think, okay, when is this going to, when is the big one going to happen? I don't live that far from the beach. When is the big flood going to happen to where, oh, we can't really live here anymore? Probably, I mean, a bunch of Floridians are probably asking that question right now because they get it worse. They get it worse with the hurricanes and stuff. Tampa Bay Rays can't play in their own fucking stadium. They have to play at a minor league stadium owned by the Yankees because their stadium got fucked up in the last hurricane that they couldn't fix it in time. So it's just like, you have this sense of like, everything is getting worse and no one wants to make it better. No one that can make it better wants to make it better. So why should I have such high expectations for my own life? And that's very sad to think about.
Of course it is.
I don't think I'm that black-pilled because I'm a married man with a puppy. So clearly I have some sort of outlook on life. Some sort of positive outlook, but I'll be damned if I say, you know, I'd be lying if I said that that I have a lot of hope at this moment that things can get better. I'd be lying if I said that because I don't. I feel like I've been screwed a lot and, you know, and I'm 30 years old. So I can't imagine what it's like for someone at least 10 years younger than me to be feeling right now. I mean, that's got to be...
Kyle, do a 13-year-old, because they start to think stuff. We were thinking stuff at 13 and 14, so even think younger. If you're going to think of that aspect, think of a 20-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Yeah. Like, when I think about how... When I keep hearing about, like, how, like, you know, teenage boys were being influenced by Andrew Tate videos.
I say that's a failure on the parents of that one. That's just a failure on the parents. If your kid gets influenced, even if it's a positive person, if it's a positive YouTuber, if any of your kids are influenced by someone that is not you and the other parent, you have fucking failed. The only influences I've ever had in my life is my mom and dad.
Yeah.
That's my influences.
Yeah. And I think, like, what is happening to young boys that they would even be driven in that they would be radicalized in that direction in the first place?
I got two reasons. One, well, obviously, there's that chance that dad ain't around. So you got to look to something as a male figure.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. Two, and this is the sadder thing, because I have seen that. I remember some of the parents from high school. Mom sucks. Everyone just thinks that, oh, there's the abusive father. Yeah, there's also the manipulative mother. I've met those women.
Sucky-ass parents, yeah.
So that's why. That's why, for example, okay, I think it's kind of subsided the whole red pill movement, but when the red pill movement was at its height,
yeah,
these young boys, it's because mom sucks. Mom must really be an awful woman who... No, that is a factor. That does stuff to a boy watching either just a mom who sucks ass or also too, and who is venomously destroying your father on a daily basis. An unhappy mom, whether it is someone's fault or not, just an unhappy mom in the house will destroy you, the family. And you could be looking to that, because what's Andrew Tate saying? Oh, you're going to act like a bitch? Fuck off. I'll get someone else who's hotter and younger and tighter.
True. And I have to imagine, like, the father is... Whether they're abusive or absentee or just not great to be, if there's a father at all, this is we're just talking about like a two-parent household. But it's like, you know, because there are some things for a boy, I mean, we're only talking about boys, but I know this also.
There are girls.
This
too.
Overall thing affects girls too. The hope question also affects.
Affects everyone.
Women, yeah, affects everyone.
But that's one thing about it. I think it's just there, and it just trickles down where the main maternal figure failed. Either maybe he's not there, or really is a shitty person who should not have gotten pregnant. There are a lot of people in this world who you will all meet and see who are like this. Oh, you should not have gotten pregnant. You are a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
God, I wish you were infertile. I have said that about a few people. Oh God, yeah, I've said it. I wish to God some of the people I've known in my life were infertile. It's true. You've met some people like that. Like,
I'm sure. I know I have.
I hope you. You're just like, I hope you never breed. Yeah. No, there is. There are real people out there. Hell, there are real famous people out there who are like this. Oh God, you have kids. Fuck.
Granted, there are also a lot of like wealthy politicians where I'm like, who I also wish didn't breed.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
when it comes to those certain influencers who are getting a hold on a group of. Just younger generations, men, boys or girls. It's like, oh, the household failed. It is. Because I can say this about us, because we were in high school when the influence thing was really taking off. And we knew people in high school who were a little younger than us or older than us in the grade level who had influencers they, you know, worshipped. I'm like this. I worship my parents.
Oh, God. The red pill internet movement of the mid-2010s.
Yeah,
which like most of them eventually got booted off to YouTube and then shunted to like fringe platforms that nobody uses.
But the thing
and the ones that survived, like they had too much money.
Yeah.
And
but the thing is, the influence thing has gone on longer before the main red pill movement with Andrew Tate. It's just the household failed. It's so cut and simple. It's like the household failed. Someone in that household or both failed, and that's why. It's a lot of work to raise a kid. I know I'm only 3 years in, but it is constant daily. You have to be a happy motherfucker doing it. And you have to have a village. Thank God I have my parents. I mean, right? I mean, it is. Hey, thankfully, my parents picked who my Nino and Nina are.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, my Nino got me a job and as a sixth grader. My Nina, she's the one woman who I'm, and it's nothing against her, terrifies me. That's the scariest woman I've ever met in my life. And I love her so much for it. I love her. She raised me. She's after my mom, it's her. But it's like that. I think it's just when it comes to people get influenced by shitty motherfuckers, like not just Andrew Tate, there's Candace Owens, there's Charlie Kirk, there's all the Daily Wire people, there's even those fucking Navy SEALs now who are just personalities. It's like, oh, the household failed. If a person gets back in our parents' day and age when they're in high school, oh, God, I love this celebrity and this and that. Oh, wow, grandma and grandpa fucking suck.
Yeah.
Anyone who says their hero is not their parents, okay, someone failed. And it's not the kid. But the hope should be within yourself still, getting back to the whole thing. It really has to be within yourself. It's got to be, even if the situation's sucky.
I still think there are a lot of, like, damage that outside forces have done.
Oh, irreversible. I'll agree with you on that.
Whether it's environmental damage or just sort of sociocultural damage.
Like the whole bullshit trad wife thing. That's such bullshit. That whole fucking woman's bullshit.
I think about this just with politics where it's like, wow, the people that are in charge don't care about you. And anytime there's like a good person... an actual good person that tries to get into that system, to get their hands on the levers of powers to switch directions, either they're a liar and they don't do it, or they're corrupted, or they're just not allowed in. And, you know, wanting things to... And anyone who, you know, wants to make the world a better place is usually told, well, you're a cynic, it is the way it is.
You're a tree hugger.
There's
that. That'll be around for so many years still. Well, I feel like from my perspective more to like what you're talking about, we've all seen this writings on the wall that we'd get to hear years before, like really around 2016, we knew shit was like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I still had kids.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I think it comes down to, even though it's all shit, I mean, for all, mm-hmm. really, really, folks, no one, this is Murphy's Law right now, in the most we are literally the definition of mercy. It might be like, oh, that'll never happen. We don't know if Russia and China will invade. Let's be honest with ourselves. We really don't know if fallout will happen. The video, like, you know, in Anchorage. But you got to find hope somewhere. Build it slowly. Maybe start with your house. I mean, yeah, it's a time game. Do we have time for all this shit? Probably not. We, like you said, 5 years just alone with just climate alone.
And then just dealing with disaster after disaster. And good luck if you make it out.
And then other things on top of that that need to be worked on and changed. It's maybe, you've said before in other episodes, you got to get this to radicalize you crazily. And then the real question, maybe then, to find hope and do hope, if our political officials aren't doing anything, whether we elected them or not, and this has been going on, as we realize now, for decades, because we still can't decide who fucking shot JFK, what do we do about it? Because through history, and this is where it gets a little dark, and who knows how this will get censored on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I'm being serious now.
We're just saying, in the past,
what did people in the past do when the government was not working? They chopped their heads off and they killed the children of that family.
They did this in the past.
Yeah, but they remember the French? They killed the They killed that queen, and then the kids too.
This reminds me. Yeah, this brings up the fact that, like, during the week when we all thought Trump died, because he just disappeared.
We were just like, oh shit, did J.D. Vance do it?
Like, I heard about this meme, but I saw it a lot more front and center. The meme, it happened or will it happen? You know, yeah. It, which is shorthand for, you know, did the president die? Did Donald Trump, you know, it being the concept of President Trump dying.
Yeah.
And but it's a way to talk about that without getting in trouble with social media terms and services.
Wording.
I mean, you know what's what annoys me is when I hear the term unalived. When people say the word unalive, because that also came from social media. People say that on social media because the word suicide would get you dinged, would get your posts removed for, like, insensitive.
Yeah, I remember that. That was, I think, around 2011 and 12 that was starting to pick traction.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, if you can't talk about suicide, you can talk about unaliving. And what really ticks me is when I hear people say that word in person.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, the bots are not here. You're talking to real people. You can just say the word that's on everyone's mind. I don't know if it's like, you know, saying the word suicide could be triggering to somebody with emotional issues, but I don't see how saying the word unaliving makes it any better. Because we all know what you're talking about. We all have brains. We all know what you're saying. And that's why I say it's just there to avoid social media terms of services issues.
They say that word in the Minecraft movie. It's so bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
It's so gross. It's so gross. I hate that. I just say, I think once someone said that and I just popped off and said, you mean eat his gun? I remember I never heard a suicide. I know the word, but I heard up growing up more because of certain TV shows I watched was he ate his gun.
He ate his
that
gun.
That was my form of that word. Suicide was he ate his gun. I did watch a lot of cop shows growing up. But yeah, no, I'm just like, it's dumb at the where we're at is dumb. And I think what you said to help with hope is get this to radicalize people, to motivate them to organize, to plot, strategize, you know, plot, organize, make a move, do something, march, because it's got to change. And for it to change, it has to be everyone doing it all at once at the same time, working together. And the thing is why I brought up our, again, as you said, past history as a species when we got rid of certain governments, because I want to bring this up to even Republicans who are obviously want to get rid of certain people. And who don't like certain people and are mad at certain people and hate certain people and have threatened violence against certain people. Because it's like this, okay, are you, and I say that though, are you ready to do that? Because to really get rid of a people, you have to do root and stem. You do. That's the only way. Thank God it's never really worked historically, because thank God, you know, the forces of good got there in time.
Well, what are you talking about? Like disappearing people?
No, I'm talking about genocide. I'm talking about killing the children. I'm talking about what? I'm talking about actually only one time in our human history where it basically worked, where the Greeks were throwing Trojan babies off the walls.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean, because when I say like we got to have hope, or else it gets uglier.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are being pushed as a society closer because of how fringed we've become, how much hatred we have just between us due to these two-party system we have, is getting close. So it's like, it's okay, are you ready to kill for that?
Can you think of anything right now, like anything that has happened in the past year that you can point to and say, well, it's not all bad. We have this, and we also have this. That as a counter-argument to everything is getting worse.
I think, sadly, it isn't enough because it's just personal.
It's just about, well, my life is doing good.
My life's doing good. Mm-hmm. It's just I got to see my youngest walk.
Okay.
My oldest is having conversations of wanting to break down a movie scene for what's going on. It's personal. And I know that's not good enough because overallness, really, what, corn nuts are now have a flavor called loaded taco that tastes good? I mean, really, globally, it's something that happened. Well, at least we have that. I'm like, maybe it's just I've never had that outlook. I've always thought selfishly, really. And I can say that because I'm only thinking about what's going on in my life. Not that me specifically, I'm doing good. Hell, I'm sore as fuck. I'm tired. My knees fucking hurt from those injuries I got in high school. But it's just I'm seeing this fucking little dude who has half of me in him doing something. And it's awesome. And I know no one else in this planet can relate to what I'm going through. Yeah, you could say like, oh, there's a lot of other parents who are like, oh, I know what you mean, man, when your kid has those first steps. I'm like, no, fuck you. My kid's taking his first steps, and he's acting like Godzilla.
Yeah.
And I've never shown him Godzilla. He scares the shit out of me. My youngest is a demon, and I love him. But it's that. Overallness in the world? Not really, because personally, I've never done that. That's maybe that's just my outlook on life. I've never looked towards others with that. And I know that's a problem because the majority of the world does not think the way I think.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the world doesn't work their ass off just because, well, that's just me. We need human motivation from our leaders, whether it's parents, whether it's older siblings and friends, our bosses, and to our political leaders. We need, hell, even our actors, as we've seen, all our fucking performers, whether it's music or acting, they suck dick now. Like, we're seeing that more and more. There's not any actor who's like, oh, fuck. Yeah, you know, you're still a piece of shit. You are. Literally, every famous person really is a piece of shit. Well, let's be honest. We'll find something out about Tom Hanks. We will. Look at how Denzel Washington's acting like a grumpy old bastard now with interviews. Have you noticed that recently?
Yeah, he said, like, I don't watch movies right now anymore. I don't care about the Oscars.
Or even the response to, like, hey, cancellation. Like, cancel. Fuck you. What are you going to do, cancel me? It's like, oh, you're just an old grumpy man now.
I don't know. I kind of like that he said some of that stuff.
No, true, but it's, you can
he's
see.
He's my kind of grumpy man.
You can see in the delivery where he's just become a grumpy old bastard. You know what I mean? Like, where was that panache-ness that you had in the 90s?
Mm-hmm.
You're just going like this. Dude, I'm fucking done. Like, I don't give a fuck. It's like, hey, we don't need to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the equivalent of Daniel Craig saying, I'd rather cut my wrist with a piece of glass than play James Bond again. It's like, dude, we don't need to hear that. Like, be a professional. Like, none of our famous people are professional anymore. They're not. And it used to be like that for our parents. Where, like, your famous people and celebrities were fucking professional.
Because professional does not equal authenticity. Yeah. And what people want is authenticity. That's why I put authenticity in quotes because given that's why we have the man that we have in the White House.
Yeah. The only authentic thing he did was just say, yeah, the Bushes suck. That's all we got.
Sure, yeah.
That's it. And oh, it is kind of nice that he's telling Florida, calm it down with that vaccine bullshit you're doing. Mm. We actually need it to work.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God for that, I guess. But really, I think you just got to... I still argue you just got to white-knuckle hope whether it's there or not. Whether you're a grumpy 50 to 60-year-old who's tired of how the world is now and thinking about your children or grandchildren and what they're going to do to the 20-year-old yeah. who's in the middle of college going like, what's the point? Because scientifically, I have the data that says I might as well eat my gun.
Yeah.
Is you got to force hope. I think forcing hope, great. It's like saying fake it till you make it. Force mm-hmm. a smile. But we are coming to an interesting point in our political sphere of America where it's like, hey, we're being pushed towards a civil war, really. Never will happen, but we're being egged on.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world is not going to help us. They're just going to wait to see what scraps they can pick up. We don't have an ally. We need to get our allies. We're pissing off the South Koreans, which is dumb.
If I was to come up with anything of like, well, here's some substantial things that'll make the world, that like, here's some things to look at, and I don't think it's much, but I can point to this. First of all, Ukraine still exists. They got invaded by a superior military power, and yet their country is still around. They did not get conquered or taken, and it's not without a lot of bloodshed, but it's like those people have found resilience to keep going and keep fighting. So that's something. I mean, it's really dark, but that's one thing. Another.
The night is dark before the dawn.
Mm-hmm. Another, amidst what Israel has been doing in Gaza, which multiple human rights organizations and genocide scholars and even Holocaust scholars have sound the alarm saying that what's happening is tantamount to genocide.
It is. It is a cleansing.
Yeah.
It's just a straight up cleansing.
One way or another, you'd be foolish to not think that the intentions of those in Israel's government is to not clear Gaza out of its Palestinian/Arab population to make way for, you know, Jewish settlement on the land and exclusively so. But one bright side that's been coming out more and more is that you see a lot more people willing to call that shit out. Whether or not they are willing to say the G word or not willing to say the G word, you're seeing way more opposition, not just in the United States or the outside Western world, but even in Israel too. Oppose Netanyahu, oppose the violence that's happening there, and just, you know, straight up call out and take action through, you know, boycotts and sanctions, and or even just simply, you know, verbal opposition. It used to be taboo to do that. It used to be considered taboo to do that. Now you're seeing it used to be considered political suicide for politicians to speak out against stuff like that when Israel has caused misdeeds in the past against its own populations that it controls. Less so now. People are more willing to speak up. Less people are getting in trouble over that. They're not having their careers ruined as much. Just more and more people and politicians speaking out about that. And it's only going to grow to the point where, you know, if you say, I support Israel 100% and you're running for office, especially as a Democrat, that might be a liability for you in future elections.
Mm-hmm.
That feels good. And it's like, okay, maybe we can take that energy and not just focus it on Israel, focus it elsewhere. Because there's also, a genocidal situation happening in the Sudan. Maybe we can take that there. I mean, granted, we're not directly affecting its situation as much as with Israel, because we don't, as far as I know, I don't think we get Sudan or South Sudan like millions upon millions of dollars in defense spending. But, you know, maybe there's something there. And then I look at, you know, when certain politicians do get elected, especially like the Zoran Mamdani thing is something I'm pretty jazzed about, because he got elected in New York. He got elected to the Democratic nomination, the one party that actually controls politics in New York, and the only election he really had to win, hopefully, knock on wood. And he was not a typical Democrat. He broke a lot of the rules of like what you're supposed to do to get that nomination, including not sucking up to Israel when other people tried to use it as a gotcha, and it didn't work. Yeah. He is now the front runner for the general election in New York, and nothing that, you know, Democrats and Republicans are scheming to try to boot him out but it, polling wise, it's not hurting him.
If they're both working together to scheme him out, that just shows you everything.
Yeah, yeah. Like Trump offering Eric Adams a position in the administration is like as like a, an incentive to drop out. Like, wow. Wow, like you're just being naked about this. And the fact that he was elected to the nomination means that, you know, he mustered thousands of people, thousands if not millions of people. Well, let's say thousands because it's a city. Thousands of people together.
Well, it's, if it's New York City. New York City is over 12 million. Yeah. So it probably was millions. Yeah. It really was. It really was millions.
To rally behind, you know, a much more, you know, social democratic approach. The idea that government and organized that society can be organized to benefit common people.
That's the whole point of government. Help out the common person.
That's what public services.
The rich and famous, they're okay. It's the common person.
They did the fact that he and the fact that he's able to do that in New York tells me you can do this anywhere.
Also, too, it just shows you again, like, and you gotta hope mm-hmm. that once this guy hopefully gets in office, he does the job.
And can do the job.
When it comes to this man saying he's a socialist and how every Republican is like, oh God, blah, 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 blah. I'm like this, okay, there's socialism, there's democracy, communism, fascism. There's just those right there.
Yeah.
The ones who ruined it are humans. On paper, there is some good there.
Mm-hmm. The ones who ruin every system of organized society, it's people.
Yeah. Guess what? Okay, let's take it back through history. Julius Caesar. Only during times of war we need you to be a bit of a dictator. Oh, nope, it's mine. Okay, well, he ruined that because the Romans had something that was working in the past,
mm-hmm.
but one human shat on it. And that's why, you know, Rome fell and all. And that's why we have a great TV show on HBO.
Yeah.
And a great Shakespearean play.
Yeah.
Communism. Russians fucked that up. The thing, anyone who says like, oh, those communists, I'm like, Russia and China are not communists. It is a dictatorship.
Lenin couldn't get his house together before he died, and then Stalin fucked everything up.
And the thing about that, people need to know, those two countries are not communists, and it's not dictator communist or communist dictatorship. No, it's just a dictatorship. Because, ladies and gentlemen, communism is this. Hey, Travis, it's lunchtime. Where's your food? Oh, you know, Tom, it's just, okay, be honest with you, money's a little tight, so I'm not eating today, so I can eat tomorrow. Dude, I got a power bar. Just fucking eat it. Oh, Tom, I don't have the money to. I didn't ask for your money, Travis. You're hungry. We all just did a tough 5-hour shift before lunch. Here's my power bar. Here's a bottle of water. Shut the fuck up and eat, and I'll see you on the floor. That's communism. Isn't that mind-blowing? Isn't it that fucking mind-blowing that that's actually what communism is? It's just if you're a group of people who see someone within that group not getting enough, you just all bind together and be like this, hey, here's an orange slice. Here's a bottle of water. Here's half my sandwich. At least you're with us eating. That's communism. Oh, my God. And the great thing, because we like to say democracy is the greatest thing in the world. Really? Is it working? Is democracy working?
It only works if people make the right choices.
And by right choices, we mean human.
Yeah.
For human choices. When you think humanly.
Yeah.
What a person needs on a day-to-day basis. Mm. Do you think every American wants to be a fucking millionaire? No.
Nope.
We just want, here's the thing, because I grew up in an apartment. We just want a nice size apartment that isn't a shithole by the fucking landlord and where we're all just having a nice time together. Really, the concept of apartments should have been the thing that took over this country, because the concept is great where you're like, hey, we got 10 to 20 units in this one area. Everyone has at least a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, and we got a pool and a community garden, and we all, hey, guess what? Well, the majority is working, and we have a couple of people who are house spouses. They're keeping an eye on the place so that we all can be safe. Wow. Travis, was that just some radical thing I pulled out of my ass that's so mind-blowing that could maybe actually possibly fucking work if we also put our hearts into it and not think about, oh, yeah, the paper in our wallets? So maybe this guy will do it in New York. I hope.
Yeah.
I hope he gets elected. I hope he does his job to show that it can work.
I hope he can transform the political landscape in that state and that others will follow, realizing it's a winning formula, and it'll jettison the old guard and bring about like a new progressive movement
that will sweep the nation.
Yeah. I guess I'll just conclude with, like, if you're in a bad place, you need to find some good news, you know,
or just something good in your life to build to that.
Yeah.
Hell, even if it's just a good book or a good video game, yeah, or a good TV show, or at least that one nice person at the coffee place,
or just at least, or like something that you can point to and go, oh, at least things are doing well for those people over there. At least they got their shit together.
I have a question for you, though, because this is a new thing happening right now. You're going to laugh your ass off again about YouTubers on the right.
Uh-oh.
Shit on the boomers. But in your opinion, do you really think our dads and their generation really fucked us in the ass as a whole? Not just, I'm not saying individual our dads, but as a whole, the generation our dads and uncles came from, are they really the ones who fucked us? I don't believe that.
Well, they voted, a lot of them voted for Reagan.
Fuck Reagan.
So that kind of doesn't help.
Fuck Reagan.
Really, a lot of her problems and a lot of America's problems today, you could trace it back to Reagan. And Reagan was elected and reelected in huge landslides. So, like.
So Reagan was the 80s, right?
Yeah.
What's after the boomer generation and before us?
So boomers are like.
You know, it goes boomers, then is it?
Gen X. Gen X is like if you're born in the 60s.
So Gen X, though, then you could argue Gen X, though, is the problem because they had that chance to vote.
Yeah. Although I don't know what the age stats were back then, but I imagine the boomers probably voted more because generally the older you are, the more likely you are to vote.
Oh, that statistic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that holds true today. It's like, well, yeah, you gave us 8 years of Reagan. That really didn't help anything.
I'm glad Nancy cucked him with Mr. T. That's awesome. I'm so glad about that.
So,
but do you think that that thing that's happening? It's a thing that's happening right now on YouTube. The whole this is the block by block. This is why the boomers how the boomers fucked us. I'm like, really? Does that help? Even if that's true, that mentality of like, oh yeah, they fucked us.
It can be therapeutic to recognize you inherited a flawed world, and that
the world of man is flawed already, kind of thing.
It's like, well, you know, you didn't do this. People love to, especially like, you know, as the older generations love to berate the younger generations, you know, with our music, our clothes, our cultural trends and whatever. And then, you know, it's take your pick of which generational divide you're talking about. It's good for the younger generation to be like, well, you know, it's not my fault that public universities charge a buttload for tuition. That's your guys' fault. It's not my fault that we have a polarized partisan media landscape. You guys elected a president that made that okay. It's not my fault the world is the way it is. I just inherited it. You guys made it that way.
Did you ever have any type of generational divides with your father? Like that one thing where it's just like, we just can't.
No.
I didn't either.
Really not, no.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't that weird, though? And maybe it's just because you and I are in our own bubble, because we just happen to be friends who had that similar upbringing.
Well,
where
I think
it's like,
I think like my parents just saw that play out when they were kids. And maybe with their parents. I know my dad's talked about how, like, you know, his older sister was a little more in touch with like kind of the hippie and anti-war movement of the time, and, you know, create some disagreements with her and her dad. I think my dad just saw that play out and was like, well, you know, I could be a little more with it, or at least less judgmental of like what my kids are into.
I never had that. And my dad has talked about those generational divide moments. Like, the most stereotypical one we all know is Red Foreman and Eric Foreman. That's like the most.
Oh yeah.
That's the most like just played out one. But I never had that with my dad, because it's just like, maybe it was just, I know he's told me stories too with his father that he had those moments a lot. And I guess maybe he, like your daddy, chose just not to do that to his kid.
Yeah.
Like, just to be like this. Either I'm going to like it or not, but I'm going to let the kid do it. As long as it's not hurting him. Because I played... My dad liked video games, but like just Pong and Asteroid.
Yeah.
Me, I fucking love video games. And he just said, cool. And you'll just sit and watch me or sit and read next to me. So maybe it's just that simplistic where I guess I feel like I'm in my own bubble when I don't have that. You could have done this like you're saying.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, that was his life. That's his thing. I'm just doing what I'm doing here now.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be better. And not saying my dad wasn't a good father. He was a great father. He is still to this day a great father. I'm just trying to be a better father than him for the sake of my kids, because that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm hoping my kids are a better father than me for the sake of theirs. So maybe
my dad has said to me a few times, you know, I'm really sorry, this is the world we're leaving you. My mom and dad have said that to me. And maybe that's why I'm like sympathetic to the whole, like, you know, okay boomer meme culture, like fucking old people screwed us. I mean, because that was just something I was taught. It was like, well, this is the way it is because of the actions of those that came before you. And you are left to pick up, you are left with the mess. You are left to pick up the pieces. If we were to wrap this up, why are you laughing?
Because he said it twice now. Wrap up, like, oh, that's right. You already were trying to conclude. I forgot.
Well, we have a bad habit of that on this show.
That's what made me laugh. Because I don't know, maybe it was the timing when you said to wrap this up, and you looked at me like, "Don't say a word right now." That's the look I saw you give me. That's why I laughed.
I'll just reiterate. Just find something. Find something good that happened. That is happening. If it's not happening to you, find out if it's happening to someone else.
And put something good in your life, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a simple cup of coffee once a morning.
Yeah.
Or your favorite TV show.
Even if it's just a funny video of a tow truck towing away. This is a real video I saw where, like, tow truck towed away an ICE vehicle. Because it was parked illegally. and it's funny, you're watching this tow truck run away with the SUV, and the ICE agents are trying to chase after, like, hey, get back here. That makes me feel good. That gives me a little hope to my day. Find stuff like that. Or don't. Find something else.
And still do what Travis says. Find something you believe in and vote. Get out there. You gotta, now more than ever, you cannot be complicit.
Vote at the very least.
Yeah. You know, I believe in the power of voting, because if you don't, then it's either you're just sitting there or you're one of those horrible people who like to get bloody. Because we don't want to do that again. Have hope, everyone. I still say it. White knuckle hope. Figure out a way to force it into your lives. But do what Travis said, too. Look for something that is hopefully happening, because good things should happen and continue to happen. Hope to God those Epstein files get fully released.
That also gives me hope, the fact that people are still talking about the Epstein files and it's backfired on Trump pretty hard. That does make me feel good. And with that...
good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone. Stay safe. Stay cool.
Stay loved.
Yes.
Say good morning to someone the next time you pass them by. Really, to a random stranger, say good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Who cares if they say it back to you? Just say it.
Yeah. Take care of yourselves.